Today on Compassion Radio.
God has a habit of showing up.
Right.
That's what he does. He shows up in our life and comes through for us.
Right.
Not that God is sitting up in the heavens and waiting to bless us with precious things or to be this Santa Claus kind of God that just brings us gifts at Christmas. But he is about the business of showing up in our lives, first to bring himself glory because he's God, but to also bring us into a closer walk in relationship with him to make us more like Jesus.
That's right.
This is Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. On this program, Bram spends time with people who live their lives in a missional way, whether it's in a mud hut in remote Africa, a church in war-torn Ukraine, a village in Nepal devastated by an earthquake, or one of the countless Christ-centered ministries in the United States. Bram is there, tirelessly bringing you the life-changing stories of God's love, goodness, and faithfulness. Kulea Child Care Villages is a faith-based charity dedicated to rescuing and raising orphans and vulnerable children in East Africa. All this week, Bram's wife Sandy connects with Deborah Brown, the head of this wonderful ministry, to talk about the amazing work God is doing in the lives of so many precious children in Kenya and Tanzania. Here's Sandy with part four of that conversation.
We're back again with Deborah Brown from Kulea Villages. I want to welcome you back to the program, Deborah. Thanks for coming back again with us.
Thank you, Sandy. It's so good to see you again and be here.
Good.
So I think the ministry is going to go forward great. I know that our first year will be a little different than the rest of our time there. It's going to be full of a lot of language learning, like 4 days a week, probably a couple of hours every day. If you traveled with me, you'd be like, oh, you know Swahili. But no, I can do conversational greetings and order my food and tell them what time we're coming back. I cannot go into a meeting of government leaders and listen Swahili. You know, something important.
Right. Yeah. It needs to become more your first nature.
It does. So we're going to work on that. A missionary in Morogoro said to me, I know you're so busy with your organization and you want to take in a lot more children and you want to go partner with all these churches. But the number one thing you can do for Kulea is that first year, dedicate yourself to knowing the language. Even when you feel like I'm kind of wasting my time, you're not. It's also protection for you and Aaron. To know the language is going to protect you. And the second protection is to live outside of your house, to be in your neighbor's home on a daily basis. All the different neighbors get to know them, who their kids are. They know your kid. You don't just go once and meet them and here's a banana bread. You keep going back and you invite them over. And that is protection. And that takes time, but that is ministry. You may be thinking, oh, I need to write, you know, an email and a nice Facebook post, but I'm sitting with my neighbor. You are doing God's work at that time. So she said, it'll be a big change for you. In America, we live inside of our houses. In Africa, we live more outside of our houses. And that's the culture shift. So I'm excited about all of that. I'm trying to remember those words of wisdom from missionaries who've been there a long time. They know better than I do how to come alongside and walk with people in Christ and how to bring others to Christ. I'm going there really as a missionary of Fellowship Church here in Kyle and also as Kulea's leader. And I'm really excited. I wish that tomorrow was February and I could like, if you came to my apartment today, I didn't invite you in, but like there's nowhere to sit because the chairs have been sold. There's just one couch. The deck is completely empty. It's all been sold. Every single item I own is being evaluated. Okay, I got this a long time ago. Do I want to pay to store it? Or should it go to Africa? Or can I just let that go on to Goodwill or sell it? So I've been going through that process for about a month and a half. And in some ways, scary. And I had a little bit of a kind of feeling like a spiritual attack for 2 or 3 weeks. And I think it was a grief of I'm leaving my mother and my sisters and my Texas. You know, this is my home. I grew up in Austin. And
everything you know.
And yet at the same time, I went, wait a minute, I'm leaving, but what am I going to? And with social media and actually technology, I should say, I can be on FaceTime tomorrow from Africa with my mother or whoever it is that I'm missing and say, hey, this is what's going on here. Take a look at my kitchen and my room and this is my neighbor. And I love that because that changes things from when you used to pack up and you went over there with your family and you didn't come home for 4 years.
Right.
And you wrote a handwritten letter that would get there in 3 or 4 weeks. you know, my daughter was really sick with malaria. We weren't sure if she was going to make it, but she's okay now. That's really hard. This is totally different today's.
Right.
So I'm super excited about what God's going to do. I don't know how my funding is going to go to get me there, but I'm trusting God in that too. And I don't have to raise funds like some missionaries for ongoing support because I have a salary through Kulea, but I do have to raise funds for the moving.
To get there
is a cost. To get a work permit, a residence permit, to pay the first term of rent, first term of my health insurance, all of those things. And even a vehicle just seems unattainable. But, you know, God's bigger and he has all those resources in his hand. We never thought we would have land, right?
Right.
And I didn't write the email, so.
Well, recently we were visiting a church when we were on vacation, and the pastor of that church was doing a series on heroes of the Bible, and they spoke about checking your rearview mirror. Let's look in our rearview mirror and look to the past and see where God has shown up. And not just in the heroes of the Bible, not just Joshua and Moses and Ruth and Jabez, and not just these people in the Bible, but let's look in our life, in the rearview mirror of our life, to see where God has shown up.
Right.
And trust him to continue to show up in our life. And that maybe sound like a really easy thing to do, but it's really an important thing for us to learn.
Yes.
God has a habit of showing up.
Right.
That's what he does. He shows up in our life in ways that we least expect it and comes through for us.
Right.
Not that God is sitting up in the heavens and waiting to bless us with precious things or to be this Santa Claus kind of God that just brings us gifts at Christmas, but he is about the business of showing up in our lives first to bring himself glory because he's God, but to also bring us into a closer walk in relationship with him to make us more like Jesus.
That's right. It doesn't matter if you're in Tanzania, Texas, Missouri, I don't care where you are in the world. He just wants us.
Yeah.
He doesn't care what we're doing. He doesn't care that we go rescue orphans or feed the hungry. He cares that we want him in a relationship with him, and then he brings the rest. I've had people ask me, why do you go all the way to Africa? There's so much need here. And usually they ask it with a little bit of an attitude, a negative attitude. And I've tried to learn to not ever take that personally. And I just explained to them, I have no idea why God asked me to go to Africa because I was really happy here teaching school, leading children's ministry. But he said, this is where you're to go. And now I'm happiest when I'm there. And I'm super effective when I'm there. And it's like hard to explain, but I believe just like he called me there, he calls other people right here to go down the road to the nursing home and minister there week after week after week, reading to someone. And that ministry is just the same as what I'm doing.
Exactly.
Flying to Africa, oh yeah, maybe you'd be like, well, I don't like planes. So for you, that would be a big deal. For me, I just get on and read a book till I get there. And I usually finish a whole book. It doesn't bother me. To me, it's not a big deal. It's just, this is where God said to go. So I'm going. It's not more important or special than wherever someone else is going. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And I just want to share a moment of testimony about what you were saying about God showing up. For a few weeks after I announced that I'm actually moving, I had told a few friends, I feel like we're going to move, but I hadn't announced it, like put it out there, my blog. And then we mentioned on Facebook and suddenly it's real. And the attacks started. Probably I was looking too much on social media and reading about what other people are doing during that first week. I felt this heightened sense of anxiety, stress, and I'm trying to sell things and run the organization. And at that moment, having a financial difficulty in Kulea, which we typically get once a year about this time, and God always comes through. But you know, it had me very worried. And so at night, I feel like the enemy was saying things like, oh, how are you going to do this? A single woman going and living in Africa where it's really dangerous.
You just said you don't want it to sound like you have this big mission from God that, wow, God has called me to Africa as a missionary. This is a huge thing and I'm so special, or it's such an amazing thing. All of that is true. But you said something else about someone who maybe has a passion for something here, right at home, to go volunteer at the elementary school to read to students.
Read a book.
And you know what? I want to be sure that this is very clear. That is an amazing call from God.
Yes.
Right there. Go volunteer at a local elementary school, homeless shelter, food pantry. If you can't be around people, if you're like afraid of people somehow, go volunteer to stock shelves at a food pantry.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. There's a lot more coming up, so please stay with us. Here's a word from Bram.
You know, every Compassion Radio broadcast is a unique opportunity for us, for you, and for the kingdom of God around the world. For us, because we get to make the case that God is doing some amazing things right now in the places and in ways you might never have suspected. For you, because you get the opportunity to enter into these stories through your prayers and financial support. And it's an opportunity for the kingdom of God because they get to speak directly to you. Thank you, friends, for making it all possible. As God enables you, I humbly ask that you would continue your partnership with us as the Lord Himself leads you to. We can't be the voice for global mission without you.
If you'd like to partner with Compassion Radio, you can call us right now at 800-868-2478, or you can go to CompassionRadio.com. If you'd really like to make your giving super easy, you can just text the word COMPASSION to 53445. And last but certainly not least, if you want to go old school and mail us your tax-deductible donation, great. Just send it to Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Thanks a lot.
We're always on mission. This is Compassion Radio with Bram Floria.
Listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria.
But you said something else about someone who maybe has a passion for something here, right at home, to go volunteer at the elementary school to read to students.
Read a book.
And you know what? I want to be sure that this is very clear. That is an amazing call from God.
Yes.
Right there. Go volunteer at a local elementary school, homeless shelter, food pantry. If you can't be around people, if you're like afraid of people somehow, go volunteer to stock shelves at a food pantry.
Mm-hmm. And some days I honestly feel like if you don't know where to volunteer, you wake up in the morning and you say, God, you know, I've got 5 hours free today. I'm not really sure how to fill it, but I'm asking you to show me. And when you really do that, he will surprise you and show you crazy. You're like, oh, wow, I never would have expected to be doing this today.
Yeah.
You know, one thing that I've just learned recently, and probably a ton of listeners all are in this, but I just recently became a military mom. So that's new for me. I'm an Air Force mom, or they call them wing moms, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I joined a prayer group that's nationwide of the people whose son or husband is in the Air Force. And I see ministry popping up through there by reading their stories. Like when someone from Minnesota sends their kid down here to San Antonio for basic training, and then they can't show up for some reason for his graduation, another family takes him under their wing. He goes to see San Antonio with them. They buy us dinner. They make him theirs. They celebrate his graduation mm-hmm. along with their own. And similar things have happened when there's a stranded guy, mm-hmm. a military guy in some town. He's trying to drive home for his grandfather's funeral. All of a sudden, all these moms, I live near there. I'm an hour away. I'm sending my husband with the spare tire. It's just amazing. And I'm thinking, well, that man didn't wake up in the morning knowing I'm going to go rescue this Air Force guy. But that is the work of God. This mm-hmm. Air Force mom was praying, God, send somebody. I'm here in Wisconsin and he's stuck on the road in Alabama. And then people come through. So I think being open to God, I don't know why I brought up the military mom, but I just see
that's
these amazing stories mm-hmm. coming through the prayer group of the wing mom. And I love that. And I'm sure they have the same thing for all the other armed forces.
But that's
how God works.
I mean, here we are praying. My daughters live in other states and going to college in other states too. And I know that, you know, they've had car trouble or they've had, you know, whatever situations. I'm like, Lord, send someone to them. I don't know who. And then I'll, oh, you know what? We know a person who lives there and maybe they know a person who lives there or whatever. And God shows up in those ways that we don't have any control over it at all.
Right.
But because of our prayers, I think about the widow who kept going back to the king and saying, you know, give me justice, give me justice. Well, our prayers move the heart of God. Not because he's tired of hearing us, but because he's moved. He loves us. The
yes.
passion that he has for us.
That's
how
right.
much more will he take care of his children?
That's right.
And his children's children.
And it's why we, like you're saying, your daughter's in other state, you know, we just cover them with prayer every day. Mm-hmm. We don't know what's going to happen. Yesterday afternoon, just out of the blue, I had an unbelievably busy day. In fact, if I told you my day, you would think something's wrong with me that I'd work that many hours. So I didn't turn on the news. I don't have a TV, actually. I'm preparing for Africa. I haven't had a TV for a couple of years. So I didn't know the news. And I get this out of the blue text from my daughter, who travels back and forth from Texas up to Boston and works for 2 weeks at a time. And she texts me, Mom, I'm safe. I'm in Woburn. And I'm like, what? And I looked on the news and where she works is right there in Andover where all the explosions were. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I didn't even know. Thank you for texting me. And God, thank you for not letting me see the news before she texted me. But then I remembered this morning, I prayed for all three of my children.
Yeah.
And I love that. I'm going to be going to Tanzania with my younger son. She's back and forth to Boston and they're begging her to move back there. I don't know what's going to happen in that situation. And my older son is moving to Japan for 2 to 3 years with the Air Force. Yet I can
all
cover
corners.
Them with prayer. If they're all in Kyle, Texas, I can cover them with prayer. It doesn't matter where God spreads us, we'll be okay. And I'll miss them. That's probably part of what the 3 weeks of anxiety and attack were. Davis is going to Japan, you know, and I'm going to be in Tanzania and I'm going to miss my mom. But anyway, sometimes you don't ever get too old to miss your mom, right?
Right.
So the beauty is I'm going to move out of my apartment at the end of December and move in with my mom and stay with her
time.
For at least 5 weeks, maybe a little bit longer into early February. We'll celebrate Aaron's 18th birthday and then we're going to go. So I'm
yeah.
excited about that sweet time with her. And she's my biggest cheerleader and my biggest prayer warrior.
That's yeah. usually how it is with our moms.
Yeah.
Sure. Mine's
yeah.
the same
she
way.
Is.
I want to ask you this too. Is there a question that I haven't asked you about Kulea that you would want our listeners to know about?
One thing that we do that we haven't touched on, I would like to just say a few words about that. From the beginning, we brought small volunteer teams, mission teams to Africa with us. And there's a lot you can read now today and watch interviews like this about something called volunteerism.
Mm-hmm.
We try not to be a volunteerism, but it is something that we have to talk with our teams about. We continue to work in the same two places and we've built relationships with the people there. So we're careful on how we use the photos, and we want to bring people away from the busyness of America to experience God in that place. So we bring the teams for a couple of reasons, to experience God there and just to have a time away. I hope it's a mountaintop experience, that they really see something from God that they were too busy to hear here. But secondly, we bring volunteers to see, this is the work we do. I mean, I actually had someone one day write and say, is there really a girl in Africa named Salma? I mean, is she a real thing? If I flew over there, would I see her? I'm like, in the flesh, you want to go? We're going in October. You want to get a ticket and come? And he was like, really? I said, I can tell you her whole story. I've known her since she was 8 or 9 years old, and she's now 19. So I know her whole story. I know where she lives. I'm going to visit her in her school. You can come. And he was like, oh, okay. I said, I go over there at least twice a year, sometimes three, and I see all of the kids. I don't just hear about them and read reports in the office. Mm-hmm. I go sit with them and interview them so that I can tell you, this is how the kids are doing. And I can advise our people there. Sometimes they feel like, well, this child needs glasses, but we don't have any money. Okay, well, I'm here. We do have money. You just need to tell me they need glasses, you know, whatever. So that's why I visit frequently. I do like to say that we bring teams to verify. And what they typically find is, wow, I had no idea till I came, the scope of your work, and also how far $1 goes in this country.
Right.
You know, one man said, the dollar goes so far. Like when I give you 500 here, you make it count like $2,000. If I gave it 500 at home, it wouldn't go half as far. And that was kind of a cool observation that I had never heard before. Mm-hmm. The other thing that we do on our trips is we kind of have an idea of what we need a team to do, maybe a project. But the project is not the main goal of the trip. The main goal is what God does in the team and among the team members and between them and the people we work with. So relationship is everything in Africa, not building a building. Mm-hmm. But for Americans, they want to come and finish a project.
Right.
Our biggest complaints are, why haven't you finished that wall? And why you know, it's coming from an American culture. I'm not criticizing. I'm just saying.
We're goal-oriented.
We're goal-oriented. And when we've built a strong relationship because of a team's presence and we've impacted people for Christ there, that is way better than a wall or finishing whatever.
Exactly.
We are going to finish those things in God's time as the funding comes in. But the relationships we've built over time have set us up for taking care of the children well and to raise up these kids who become leaders and who are followers of Christ. I love bringing the volunteer teams. Mm-hmm. I hope no one sees what we're doing as volunteerism, because there's not a strong benefit to our organization in terms of financial. Their money that they pay goes for the flights and the people who drive us and who take us on a short 2-day safari at the end. And actually the team members pay for the safari themselves. So there, we do add that in there, because if you're an hour from the animals and you're in Africa, why not go? I just wanted to bring that up because I think people will look on our website and say, oh, they take trips. They must be doing that volunteerism thing. No, we want volunteers to actually come and see what we're doing and be able to come back and say to others, it's amazing.
We'll hear more of this conversation next time on Compassion Radio. If you've missed any part of today's broadcast, you can listen again anytime just by opening up a browser on your computer, smartphone, or tablet and going to CompassionRadio.com. While you're there, go ahead and check out our newsletter to find out more about this ministry. And please think about signing up for our email updates. Again, it's CompassionRadio.com. Now, if this broadcast is a blessing to you, would you please consider three things? First, please pray for us. Your prayers are vital to the effectiveness of this ministry. Second, would you please tell a friend about Compassion Radio? Sharing this broadcast will help us reach as many people as possible with the encouraging reports Bram brings us from the mission field, both here in the U.S. and abroad. And finally, would you please consider supporting this ministry financially? Compassion Radio is 100% listener-supported. That means it's your gifts that make it possible for us to continue. Now, there's a couple of ways you can get a hold of us. You can call us right now at 800-868-2478, or you can go to CompassionRadio.com, and when you're there, just click on the Donate button. Again, it's 800-868-2478, or CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you'd really like to make your giving super easy, you can just text the word COMPASSION to 53445. That's the word COMPASSION, COMPASSION, to 53445. And last but certainly not least, if you want to go old school and mail us your tax-deductible donation, great. Just send it to Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Thanks a lot. And thanks for taking time out of your busy day to listen. We are so very thankful for you. And please be sure to join us again for more Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. This program is sponsored by Compassion Radio Ministries and your generous financial support.